Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
A lot going on here on this busy NFL season. It's finally starting Thursday. We'll get to Cowboys-Eagles coming up. What Giant fans should do. We'll make our NFL predictions later as well. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. Went through what was a brutal Yankee loss last night. Tommy and Sean had a wonderful Lugash debate series on who sucks more. Ryan Helsley and Devin Williams. And I did mention that the Mets are making a major rotation change. We don't know yet if Kodai Senga is going to accept his minor league assignment. But we do know he's not going to pitch here.
Just call it what it is. It's a demotion.
It's a demotion.
It's a temp demotion, though.
Temporary.
It's, I mean, whatever. Demotions usually are in sports.
Yeah, well, I give Kodai advice. You're not starting Sunday. You're not starting Monday. You're not starting Tuesday with the Mets. So if you don't accept the demotion, I don't know what you're going to do. You're not going to be pitching.
Right.
So if you want to pitch again, you should accept that demotion. But
Maybe he needs the rest.
He missed 2 months of the season.
That's true.
Or a month of the season. Right, whatever.
Never mind.
He doesn't need any rest. And he rested all year last year.
Right.
But I think Senga will accept that. But what we do know is that Brandon Sproat will complete the trifecta. He will be called up and make his major league debut on Sunday afternoon in Cincinnati. And I'll tell you why I don't like it. I like that Brandon Sproat was called up. I love that part. I don't like the fact that Nolan McClain is facing the Phillies for a second time. I don't think that's smart strategy because it also possibly lines him up to face the Phillies a third time if the Mets face them in the postseason. And I think there's some mystery to Nolan McClain. And I think if you're the New York Mets, you should really lean into that as opposed to exposing him.
I don't know. Is there mystery?
Yeah, I think there is. I think his stuff is so nasty and spins at such a rate we've never seen before that it will only help batters to see it multiple times.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So there's a mystery to him, yes.
But he's also... He feels so confident, and he pitches that way, that I don't know if it matters. Like, sometimes you're just really good, even if they know.
Yeah.
Even if they have an idea of what you're trying to do to them. But he's got so much in his arsenal, it's almost like he could flip the script multiple times on almost anybody in that lineup. And so I wouldn't be worried about it until you have to be worried about it.
Well,
that is, until he gets beat around by the Phillies.
You may be right that Sproat is so... that McClain is so good that it may not matter. Mm-hmm. I'm merely saying when the Mets were formulating their rotation for the weekend and for the week against the Phillies, I thought it made a lot of sense to have Nolan McClain face Cincinnati on Sunday on what is regular rest
right. And
have him not face the Phillies. Now, that's not what the Mets are doing and may not turn out to be a big deal. You're right. They may never face the Phillies a third time, or it may not negatively affect Nolan McClain. But I am excited about Brandon Sproat because here's the Mets' hope. They have an offense that has figured it out. They have a lot of shakiness in their bullpen, but they have youth and unknowns in their rotation. And Brandon Sproat, Jonah Tong, and Nolan McClain are all highly regarded prospects who have earned their trips here. McClain is obviously off to a brilliant start. We've only seen one start from Tong. We'll see about Brandon Sproat, but I think the Mets' best hope and the thing that can make them special and make them have an October magic run is if these kids...
Mm-hmm.
can come out of the chute
right. And
be good.
Well,
because right now their pitching isn't good enough currently constituted.
What makes it interesting is that it feels like it's out of nowhere, even though you've been expecting this youth movement in the rotation to happen. You didn't know when it was going to happen, but if it happens at the most critical point of this 2025 season, it becomes almost magical. Right?
It could be.
And especially if they do well.
Well, the Mets are in a weird spot, so they've got a month left in this season, 22 games, so really less than a month.
Right.
They are 4 games up on the Giants, who are now ahead of Cincinnati, and the Mets have a tiebreaker, so really they're 4.5 up on San Francisco. They're 5 up on Cincinnati. They're 5.5 back in the division. They're in that spot where the likeliest scenario, barring a collapse by them or a collapse by the Phillies, is they're going to be a wild card team. Mm. I have to cough. Give me 1 second.
Right.
Which is actually symbolic, because... either choking would cause that to change. Either the Mets choke and they miss the playoffs, or the Phillies choke and the Mets win the NL East. And so I think the next 22 days is about evaluation. And it's going to be about evaluating who can make postseason starts. Right now, I think there are two guys you look at and say, hey, those guys are starting playoff games. Nolan McClain and David Peterson. And I think that's it.
Right.
So Brandon Sproat is being given the opportunity where if he's impressive, if Jonah Tong is impressive, it is not inconceivable that come postseason time, the Mets could literally start all three kids. That is on the table. And there's a part of that that's bad because it means, wow, well, Manaea's been a disaster. Senga's been a disaster. Even Peterson's been inconsistent. Clay Holmes can't get through five. But there's also something magical about it if these kids earn it. So it's exciting, and Sproat will be up here Sunday. I just strategy-wise didn't love the fact that McClain's going to face the Phillies again.
Yeah, I mean, you said that yesterday, and I get it. But sometimes, don't you want that early test against one of the best teams in the league, but also in the division? And if he passes it, it almost feels like now we truly can believe in him as being our future and now ace.
I'm not worried about Monday or Tuesday. I'm more worried about a potential playoff series.
Right. But, I mean, if he pitches great on Monday or Tuesday, then it is what it is. You know that Nolan McClain is as advertised.
Yeah. But that's it. I just don't want him seeing the Phillies multiple
times. That's not it at all. Evan, you've been pumping up the idea of seeing Tom Seaver face Jacob DeGrom this Friday at Citi Field, and you're upset because you have been sitting on this in one matchup.
Forgot about that. So that's dead now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's dead now. Well, you think that has something to do with my opinion?
Yes.
Will you still go to the game?
Yeah. It's Jake's return.
There is one thing that's going to cleanse.
But will you keep going?
Okay, there's one thing that's going to cleanse Evan Roberts' Jacob DeGrom love affair and fest, and it's that he wants to see Jacob DeGrom enter Citi Field, and Evan's best hope at the next Jacob DeGrom, see him eye to eye and outduel him so that Nolan McClain has this moment that Evan can lean on and look at his scorebook 20 years ago and go, I was there and I hyped up the moment.
The mojo transfers.
And he lost it. He lost that moment. And it's bothering Evan, and Evan can't focus on anything else but that baseball-wise.
Because he doesn't. Do you believe that it will ever happen again?
Now, what'll happen again?
Nolan McClain versus Jacob DeGrom at Citi.
Oh, no, that's never going to happen. Are you kidding me? They won't come back here for two more years.
You've just been having fantasies about this.
Well, I think it was really cool. I mean, I said it to you yesterday. It'd be like Doc facing Seaver. It's kind of magical. And I'll give you this. I'd be disappointed. But that's not the reason for my opinion. My opinion is based on strategy around a potential playoff series against the Phillies. You really think I'm putting a Friday night against the Rangers above that?
Yes, because it is the Friday night that you have been talking about both on and off the air for weeks now. You mapped out Jacob DeGrom's start before Bruce Bochy did. Well, and you were even all over. This is where you kiss your baby.
Here's my counter to this. You are correct that if McClain starts Monday, which will probably be the case because Sproat is going to pitch Sunday, Nolan McClain will not face Jacob DeGrom on Friday night at Citi Field. You are 1,000% right. But you know who would? Do you know who would be lined up to face DeGrom on Friday night at Citi Field?
No, who?
Jonah Tong!
That's some
arc. And the same thing can happen. It can be the past handing the baton to the future. Now we
DeGrom's going to kick his ass.
Excuse me?
Head to head.
Why would you say that?
Because DeGrom's better than him.
Well, we don't know. Jonah Tong's made one start.
I know, but Nolan McClain feels like he's the real deal. I don't know about Jonah Tong.
Well, but you don't know about Jonah Tong. He's only made one major league start where he was given a 12-0 lead after two innings.
What was Nolan McClain's first major league, or first two major league starts? Really, first three major league starts.
First one was against the Mariners on a Saturday.
Right, and?
He pitched 5 2/3.
And
he was great.
And his second one?
In Atlanta, then against the Phillies.
Exactly.
And then the more recent one.
And he was great.
Yeah. All I'm saying is you can still get the sex appeal of DeGrom handing the championship
belt. He's not going to hand it to Jonah.
It's symbolic, Deke. He's not going to hand him anything. No. It's symbolism. This is up Loogie's alley. This is Warrior Hogan from 6.
I was going to...
Or Rock Hogan from 18.
Bingo. Let me ask you a question, Evan. Let's say the Mets had a 15-game lead in the NL East, and the Rangers...
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student-athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rangers were where they were. They're fighting for a playoff spot. And the game got out of hand, and Jake was pitching this great game. do you think the crowd would start cheering for Jake like they did for Hogan? Goes in as the heel, but people would... Because there are a lot... Because this game is very personal to Evan. I don't know if you'd admit this. Evan took it very personally that a lot of Met fans, including his former partner or his second former partner, go, was tired of Jake, doesn't want to pitch here, he fakes injuries, blah, blah, blah. And you always, you know... rode the bench for DeGrom. You were his biggest supporter. Is there a part of you that wants to see Jake stick it to Steve Cohen?
No, I want the Mets to win. Okay. Not even a small part of me. It'd be cool to see him and show appreciation.
In the spot that they're in. But if they were up 15 games in the NL East, is there a part of you that do a little fist pump because Jake gets a little bit of revenge, so to speak?
I don't know, only because that's such a hypothetical. Like, I guess it's possible. All I know is that it's cool to see him pitch.
Right. You just want to acknowledge him. You want to acknowledge Jake, and then you want him to pitch terribly.
Well, and I would love to see someone take the baton from him. Well, and Nolan McClain is over four starts. I don't want to get nuts like Booms here, who called him Tom Seaver. McClain has shown some DeGrom-like tendencies. The bullying, the toughness. Like, right. What he did on Tuesday, and we didn't spend much time talking about it, I thought was his most impressive outing as a Met. It was more impressive than eight scoreless. And I'll tell you why. He had major command issues in the first two innings. He was struggling.
And he figured it out.
And he got lucky. Luis Torrens made two huge plays, a caught stealing. They got the final out of the first inning on the base pass. Like, he was lucky. And then Nolan McClain was like, all right, cool, enough. And he retired the next 12 guys. Like, that was a really, really impressive outing.
Wasn't it 14?
Maybe it was 14. You're right, because it was the final two batters of the second inning.
Right.
And then he completed the six.
Yes.
It was a brilliant, brilliant performance. So I think there would be great symbolism in that. But Tanya DeGrom is, come on.
It's good. Plus, why not? This is better for baseball anyway, because it pushes back and sets up something that the Mets fans can own next year. Next year, in the city of Philadelphia, for the first time ever, we will get Nolan McClain versus Jacob DeGrom to start an All-Star game as Mets fans take over the Phillies building, and that's the first time they could face each other starting for each league.
By the way, I'd sign for that. That's a cool one, too. That's a ways down the road. I can't think about it. I may go to that All-Star game.
Yeah.
If you get me that.
That'll be a Met fan invasion.
Right, let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Dave is in Lakewood. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up? I just wanted to say on Devin Williams last night's game. So, with Boone, I don't know why Boone let him get that final, try to get that final out after he struck him out. That was a long at bat. He was really struggling over there.
Mm-hmm.
Pitched like 7-8 pitches, really putting it down. And then he gave up the walk right after that. I don't know why Boone didn't pull him out. We literally had Bednar sitting there. He didn't do anything the past 2 days. Why didn't he put Bednar in the game?
Well, I think part of this is Aaron Boone, and maybe to an extent Brian Cashman, even though I think he's less involved in the minute-to-minute decisions and during Yankee games. I feel like they really want to justify this acquisition. Like, they really want to make it work. And so, as a result, they're giving him the benefit of the doubt and belief that he hasn't earned. And it ultimately comes back to haunt them almost every time.
I'm telling you right now, and I can't get into Boone's mind or Cashman's mind, it's a fair concern that sometimes guys are inserted, or in the case of our last caller, Devin Williams was in this game or stayed in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I just from a baseball standpoint, I disagree with you. I think once he struck out Urias, I was like, let me see if he can get through the inning. I had no reason to pull him there after he got the huge strikeout, but fair point. If you are making decisions, whether it's starting Anthony Volpe or continuing to go to Devin Williams...
I mean, it's got to be the case with Volpe. Well, because what the hell?
You cannot do that based on that.
Mm.
You have to, at this point in the season, and I believe the Mets are doing it, and I give them credit for it. At this point in the season, you have to play the people that give you the best chance to win. To me, Jose Caballero gives them a better chance to win at shortstop. I'm sorry. We're there.
Agreed.
And I think what Aaron Boone needs to debate, whether it's with the media or with himself or with Brian Cashman, is forget about potential, forget about what we owe the kid, forget about all the time we've spent. Who gives us the best chance to win on a Thursday night at shortstop? And right now the answer is not Anthony Volpe, and right now the answer in a close game late isn't Devin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And Carlos Mendoza has to deal with the same stuff. Like, I give you an example of something Mendy did yesterday that I like, and it's got to continue. Cedric Mullins didn't start in center field. I don't care that you traded for him. He's hitting 180 as a Met.
Right.
He hasn't been good. Like, at some point, you have to take your trade deadlines, or in Volpe's case, your prospectness, and say, that's fine, but I have to put the guys out there that give me the best chance
to win. Right, it's not working. Because it becomes unfair to the team and to those guys that probably do give you a better chance.
1,000%. Don is in Wayne, New Jersey. Hey, Don.
Evan, how you doing? I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I got Mets season tickets the last few years. I got a call from my sales rep last week, and she told me, you know, she asked me about the playoff tickets. So I said, yeah, I definitely want to do it. And while I was on the phone with her, I asked her about next year's prices.
Yeah.
So she told me, well, it's going up. It is going up only about 22%.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to be honest with you what I paid. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you, but I paid $78,000 for two seats this year.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And next year, it goes to $102,000. So I told her, if you do the math, it's not even 22%. It's 30%.
Yes.
And she's like, no, but that's not what they told me. They told me it's 22. So I got a little beef now, and I don't even know what to do for next year.
Well,
I'll
tell you this. First of all, that's a 30% raise. I got a 30% raise. I did the math myself. 30% raise. What I think she's saying, and she's not lying, is that on average, they probably raised it 22%. So what they probably did is they took higher-end seats, which clearly our last caller has.
Yes.
Puts my seats to shame. And they just put a monster raise on it. And they did do that. And I tweeted this out a few weeks ago. I wasn't angry. I was more shocked.
30%.
The Mets are raising ticket prices at a clip I have never seen. And I'm very mixed about it because as someone that doesn't want to just give them more money, obviously I don't like it.
Right.
But we all make decisions to spend it. And so I'm not going to bitch about it because I have every right to say I'm not spending it, just like our last caller does. And what I appreciate about the Mets is at least they're spending and they're trying. Like when the Wilpons tried crap like this, it really bothered me. When the Mets do it, I don't like it. I've got to make decisions myself with my family on if I'm willing to keep my tickets, four of them at least. But I do at least appreciate that the franchise is going to go out and try to win. And that's far different than what it was 10 years ago. But yes, the raise is insane. The raise was so high, Tiki.
$102,000 he's going to pay next year.
Well, he's got some
a lot of money.
He's got some high-end seats.
Of course he does. But still, that's a lot of money for seats.
Oh, crazy. When I got my raise, I said to my wife, I got good news and I got bad news. And she said, what? I said, the bad news is the Mets just took me to town.
Yeah.
She's like, well, what's the good news? I said, I think the raise is so high, they must be giving us free food for every game.
Mm. Did they?
No. No, I was wrong about that. I just thought it was such a big raise that there must be
some other perk. Was there another perk?
No. No, the perk is Juan Soto for 14 more years. Mm. The perk is, and this is where I trust them, that they're going to go out and be aggressive in the offseason. I can't tell you what it would be,
right?
But they'll be in on big free agents, and they've proven that they will. So I'll tell you this. Pete Alonso better be re-signed. Mm-hmm. Going to get an angry season ticket letter from me and many others after you raise us at a 30% clip. You know what that means, Tommy?
What does that mean?
I can't take you to any games next year.
What? What do you mean?
I got to recoup the raise by selling games I don't go to, or where instead of bringing somebody,
okay,
I may sell a single ticket and just sit next to a random.
No, you won't.
You don't think I'll do that?
No, you won't.
Why?
Because you don't want to risk sitting there and being bothered as you score the game. You want somebody there as your buffer. Don't lie to the audience. You're not selling single tickets.
You don't think I'll do that?
Haven't you known Evan long enough to know that he will just sit next to somebody, even if they're talking to him, and say nothing to him?
That's true.
I've also known
Evan.
Even
if he's trying to, like, hey, Evan, hey, oh, I heard you and Tiki talking about, okay, whatever.
You're right, Tiki.
I got a game to score. Leave me alone.
You're right. I've also known Evan long enough to know he prefers somebody else sitting there to take the shrapnel.
I do, but
I gotta see it in your face.
But I got to pay for the 30% raise.
But Evan has also become so famous that now people that aren't even sitting in the section come and say hello to you. Like, it's a constant sort of turnstile. So the, you know, sort of oasis that you created is no longer exists anyway. Here's how you make it up to me, though, Evan. The Knicks, we know we're going to the finals this year. It's a huge season at Madison Square Garden. You just got to take me to more Knick games. That's how you make it up to me.
That's what you want to do anyways. You want to go to the Knick games rather than the Mets.
You would trade every Met game I would take you to for
next season, you're saying?
Games? Yeah.
Yeah, I would, actually.
Really? So
yeah.
You put the Knicks above the Mets. Going to a Knick game is more fun to you than going to a Met game.
It's a little easier with the Garden.
I get that.
You know, as far as transportation for me. Plus, you weren't taking me to Met games anyway. So I feel like, what am I really trading for?
That's fair. Jonathan Tinek says I'm wrong about something, which I always appreciate because if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking the call. So I got to give the Mets a little bit of credit here. With their ticket raises, they were pretty reasonable for, you know, the Joe Schmo who has, you know, a normal seat in like the 400 or 500 level. the premier seats is where it really got raised. I think you're in row one, Evan. My advice to you, if the ticket price is so much, just ask your rep to move back a row or two. You'll save a lot of money.
No. Everything you said, I agree with. And that's why I didn't complain. I said we all have to make decisions, but I think that the raise was lower or higher on the high-end seat. So I wasn't wrong. We don't even disagree.
And there's no way Evan's ever moving back a row because it's a special seat sitting basically in the mezzanine, front row mezzanine.
Yeah, you know. But you know what, bro? You got to make decisions in life. And he's right. Like, one of the things you got to factor in, our last caller is much more extreme than me in terms of what I pay. If it's that much, I could always move. He's not wrong. That's why even Sean said this, that the tone of my tweet last month was that I was angry. All I wrote was, I've never seen a raise this big. It was just an observational. I'm not mad.
Right.
I get it.
Did you put
an
exclamation point?
I don't think I did.
Did you put an emoji?
There was nothing. It was just a matter of fact.
It was an incomplete sentence?
Oh, I'm going to go look at this. I'm going to search my tweets.
Was there a period at least?
I think it's because, and no offense, Evan, I think if you're not a season ticket holder and you see him sign one, so it should feel obvious that season ticket holders are going to get. So when you tweet that out, it feels like an annoyance.
By the way, August 19th, 2024, a year earlier, another year, another raise in Mets season ticket prices. So
just another matter-of-fact statement.
Very matter-of-fact. I can't find the one that I put out a month ago, but I think it was very...
Yeah. You know what it is, too? Evan, let's be honest about Twitter. Nothing's ever matter-of-fact on Twitter, and you're falling victim to trying to be matter-of-fact on something where it's not a matter-of-fact platform.
But you know what's funny? Even our last caller kind of got the sense, like, I'm all pissy. I'm not pissy. I get why they raise ticket prices. I got to make a decision.
Well, you left it open for interpretation. You should have said either, like, no biggie, no sweat off my back. Right. You left it up for us. And I'm sure the comments underneath it were people that were angry, right? So you opened up a forum for people to complain.
Like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks. I really got to think about whether I'm going to continue to be a season ticket holder.
I'd rather Darren Ruff be on the team.
So does it 250.
So the tweet I wrote was, just got the biggest Mets season ticket price increase I think I've ever had. The first response to me was from my former producer, Ernie Acosta. It was a picture of Juan Soto, and it says, thank you for your money. The second tweet back to me was from Keith McPherson, who writes, whispers, Soto. The third person wrote, tariffs? Question mark? And here's where I got the heat. WFAN troll writes, no one's going to feel bad for the dude with Knicks, Nets, Jets, and Mets season tickets. I wasn't asking anybody to feel bad for me. That's just a very matter of fact.
You were just informing the public.
Yes. And everyone has a right. It's like the Jet fan who sells their tickets for the Steelers. You make your own freaking decision. Having tickets are expensive.
I think what that last guy was saying is that I don't care that you have to spend more money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
All right. That's all he was saying.
You know who cares? Tommy. Poor guy's getting hosed out of the whole situation. The one thing it will affect, honestly, because I want to be clear here, even the offseason, if they don't get a free agent I want, there's a chance I'm going to. You charge me 30% more! Give me Murakami!
You got Grisham. You're going to be fine.
Maybe. Maybe I'll want Trent Grisham. I don't want Trent Grisham, by the way. And this is a topic for November 5th.
Wow, he's really good center fielder.
Dude, I respect Trent Grisham. The man has had a wonderful season. Mm-hmm. He may well win World Series MVP. Like, he could go down as an all-time Yankee based on the season he's having, and maybe he goes on a run that happens with World Series MVP like Matsui.
World Series MVP.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
okay.
I'm not telling you he's going to stop hitting tomorrow is my point.
Yeah, I agree. He's going to be great.
You should be thrilled. When this season ends, are you guys, whether you're Yankee fans or Met fans, you're going to write that guy a big fat check off a career season? No, gracias. I'm good.
No, there's too many kids waiting to come up.
Jurickson Profar had a career season.
Right.
What happened this year? By the way, let me take that back.
I'm not off comp. Yeah.
No. I'm not accusing that of Trent Grisham. I meant Profar off a career season. As I said that, I'm like, geez. I'm not accusing Trent of anything. I'm accusing Trent of having a career season in a contract year, which happens a lot. And what you have to do is you got to look past the career season and say, okay, am I comfortable giving that guy 5 years, $100 million, which he may ask for? Now, I'm going to give you the opposite side of this because I learned my lesson the hard way. Do you remember a fellow who played for the New York Mets named Daniel Murphy?
Of course.
He didn't have a career season. He had a career month.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many Met fans who said, oh, career month. He's fixed his career. He's like, he's going to beat Ted Williams. Right. Sign him. And I'm like, look, I like Daniel Murphy. I'd love to have him back. I just don't believe that month represents who he is. I don't think I've ever taken a bigger L in being wrong in my entire life, because obviously Daniel Murphy went out and almost won the MVP the next season.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't necessarily believe that when a guy has a career season, that's who they are. So I would be very careful with Trent Grisham.
Right.
Yeah, and I would be very careful, to Tiki's point. The Yankees didn't want to trade any of these young outfielders like Spencer Jones. So why would I commit?
There's a reason that they held on to him.
Yes, exactly.
Long-term bet.
Yeah.
It's September 4th.
Mm-hmm.
What baseball team will Trent Grisham be on in 2026? That's a good one. Go ahead. You want to go? You want me to go first? I have an answer.
Okay, go.
The Philadelphia Phillies.
Hmm.
Ooh, okay. They stink defensively in the outfield, too.
They could use a center fielder, and they're going to lose Kyle Schwarber because he's going to sign with the Mets. So they're going to have to, you know, add a bat. So I'm going to go with Trent Grisham.
If Schwarber is signing with the Mets, that means Pete Alonso is gone.
No, maybe.
Oh, you got some nerve after I said that stuff about Vladdy.
Saying that like you want that.
No, I don't want that. No, God, come on, guys. Don't interpret predictions with what I want. I do not want Kyle Schwarber over Pete Alonso.
It sounds like you're taking a shot at David Stearns right now. Then,
no, I'm
because you're saying he's not going to sign Pete Alonso.
I'm just making a prediction.
He's going to try to upgrade a bat, even though it's one of your iconic bats.
Tiki, you're as bad as a lot of these.
That's what it sounded like.
All I made was a prediction.
Why would you not just predict that Pete Alonso is going
to
be back?
Because the Mets have had a hard-on against this guy for a year and a half when it came to the negotiations. Like, did you not witness that?
No, of course I did. But okay. I think that was more because of his agent and less about him.
Well, guess who represents Kyle Schwarber? I think Scott Boras.
I think so.
All I know is I did the same thing for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and you throw it in my face every second.
No, I don't want this. I would prefer Pete come back.
Okay.
But anyhow, that's not the question at all.
All right.
Yeah. It's what team will Trent Grisham be on in 2026? I've said the Phillies.
Reds.
Ooh, that's a good one, the Reds.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay. Tommy Lugo?
I'm going to say the Giants.
The Giants. Oh, the Giants. Okay. And Sean Morash.
Cubs after Kyle Tucker leaves.
Because he signs with the Yankees?
I'm not going there.
All right. There you go. Bunch of random National League teams for Trent Grisham.
Can I just say one quick thing here based on the Grisham stuff? Remember what you said about Juan Soto, Evan? What was it? Rent in the Bronx?
I said rent in the Bronx, buy in Queens. I couldn't have been more right about that.
I think you should start to double down on that one for Cody Bellinger.
Rent in the Bronx, buying Queens.
Mm-hmm.
You think Cody's going to be a Met?
And I think that'll sting maybe even worse than Soto. I think the Yankee fan have every Yankee fan we know fallen in love with Cody
maybe
Bellinger.
Maybe as good as his season is, it would.
Teak, they love
only
this guy.
Because he's second. Only because it's the second.
Yes,
one.
It would be bad because it's like, oh my God, it happened again.
It would be bad. It wouldn't sting worse than Soto. Soto was the ultimate. You're never going to top it.
But you didn't have, like, I don't know. I hear what you're saying.
No,
but you knew Soto was leaving. Potentially,
but we also traded a bunch of guys, including Michael King, for Soto. That trade wasn't like that for Bellinger.
But you got Trent Grisham.
Okay. Yes.
There's nothing. You got Trent Grisham.
When you view trades and you view it as
grand slams, or how many? Two?
No, Teak, you're right. It's funny, but Pete Hoffman did a WFN Daily about this the other day, and I thought it was very creative. He said, it's official, the Yankees won the Juan Soto trade. Because if you view trades through the prism of what I gave up, what I got, and only in those current contracts. Like, you don't factor in, hey, Michael King's a free agent at the end of the year. What if he leaves? Juan Soto leaves. Just the current status of one's contract. So you factor in the value of Grisham for 2 years and Soto for 1 year versus King for 2 years, Randy Vasquez, and all the other guys they sent over. Trent Grisham has made that the ultimate win. He's right.
Aren't I nuts, though? Grisham was a free agent. Delicious. We signed him for a one-year, $5 million deal.
No. They tendered him a contract and gave him $5 million.
Okay. I was under the impression, and I'm wrong. Okay.
Even if they non-tendered him and re-signed him, I would count that as the same.
Okay.
In my opinion. It's the way I look at it. There is a trend the NFL has. It's a very cool trend. It's a trend that gives a lot of us hope. And that is, since the NFL realigned to the four-division format back in 2022, 25 teams have gone from worst to first in their division in a single season.
Yeah.
It is common for teams to have bad years
and then follow it up by making the postseason. And so I look at this year's NFL season, which begins tonight. In fact, I'll give you an exact stat. In 21 of the last 24 seasons, a last place team would follow it up by making the postseason. So it is almost likely that one of the teams I'm about to mention will be a playoff team based on the track record of teams going not from worst to first, but from worst to good enough.
Right.
Would be the way I'd phrase it. So here are the teams that finished in last place last year. And you tell me who jumps out at you as a playoff team. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
The New England Patriots.
Maybe with Vrabel.
BS. They're so overrated.
Probably.
Five,
but maybe.
5-12. The Cleveland Browns.
No.
The Tennessee Titans.
Potentially.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
No.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Yes.
They're probably the favorite in the clubhouse.
100%.
The Nolens Saints.
Not with Spencer Rattler.
Yeah. I mean, how long is he going to remain the starting quarterback?
I don't know. I'm surprised he won the starting quarterback job because he looked bad last year.
The Saints are almost regarded as the lock worst team in the NFL. And I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case, but they're not going to be good.
It kind of sucks for Kellen Moore, too.
Well, it sucks for him, but it doesn't in that he's probably not getting fired after 1 year.
True. So he could probably get his quarterback.
Yeah. This is the way I envision it. And I know that Arch Manning did not have a great debut. And I don't know what he's going to be at the next level. And a wise man once told me, college football sucks. Arch Manning is going to end up with the Saints. By hook or by crook. At some point, like, he's going to, the namesake, Archie was a Saint. Like, that would be my long-term prediction.
I just remember who they hired as their offensive coordinator.
What does that matter?
They hired a guy's father who's about to come out to be their offensive coordinator,
right,
setting that
Grant Nussmeier's father.
Yes.
Oh, is that true?
Yes.
Okay, that does matter.
My pushback was going to be, why would the Mannings want Arch to go anywhere where an Archie played, an Eli played, a Peyton played, so he not only has to live up to the last name, but also his grandfather.
Divide and conquer.
Right, go to a team that no one, Dallas, someone that no one's been on before.
Sometimes when you make a long-term prediction, it's just the gut feeling you have. There's no actual facts to back it up.
True.
No offense. I mean,
by the way, there isn't an argument right now that Arch Manning is going to be the top quarterback in this draft.
There isn't an argument.
There is not.
No, how could there be?
Exactly.
Number one, he may not come out, and number two, he stunk at his first game.
Of course. He looked good last year, but he did not look good in week one.
Yeah, the Saints are just the Saints and the Browns seem to be the two teams that you look at and say, they're going to stink.
Yeah.
Now, NFL, you never know, but they kind of lead the list. The other last place teams, the Chicago Bears. I hope they're terrible.
The division is too hard. No.
I agree with you.
No.
I don't think they're going to be any good. And my issue with the Bears has nothing to do with Caleb. It has to do with their head coach. The head coach already pisses me off. I don't like
him. Really?
He's cocky. He's arrogant.
Because he didn't want to come to the Jets?
Well, we just heard so much about him. Ben Johnson. I mean, it's just like enough of him.
You and I are aligned.
I don't like him.
I don't
like him.
You don't like him simply because he's not your coach after believing that he was going to be your coach.
That is not true. I never believed he was going to be the Jet head coach. It has nothing to do with I swear to God, it's not a Jet thing. It's a perception of the way he's come off thing. He's just come off like too hot to trot.
Cocky.
He's the genius. He's the boy wonder. He's coaching where football's going. But Sean just said he agreed with me, so obviously you get that vibe from him, too?
Yeah, and again, he was already anointed well ahead of, and I've just seen so many of these coordinators flop. I hate to do this. I'm rooting for the guy to fail. One of these guys. He's so overhyped. He annoys me in his press conferences.
Well, I mean, let's face it, though. This is, the NFL is a offensive coordinator league now. Because think of the head coaching jobs. There were seven of them? Yeah, there were seven of them this year. Two of them went to former head coaches. Pete Carroll and Mike Vrabel in New England.
Yes.
All the other hires, offensive coordinator.
Because that's the way it is?
Aaron Glenn, though.
True. Other than Aaron Glenn. Yeah. I forgot about Aaron Glenn.
Brian Schottenheimer, OC.
Right.
Kellen Moore, OC. Ben Johnson, OC. Liam Cohn, another guy I can't stand, OC. Vrabel and Carroll, you throw out because they're coaches.
It just feels like Ben Johnson and Liam Cohn, they were fast-tracked into the job.
No, I agree. And look, I'm not dismissing Carroll and Vrabel. I know that Vrabel comes from the defensive side as well.
Right.
Same with Pete. It's just that they were hired because they're established head coaches, not because of their background.
Right.
The only non-offensive coordinator hire
was Aaron Glenn.
And it's just, it's perception of the way they come off. Like, Liam Cohen comes across he came across sleazy the way he left Tampa. That's just the way it came across. Maybe I'm wrong. What do I know?
No, it was because, I mean, I know, obviously, but he told him that he was staying.
Yeah. So he's a liar.
And then left.
There you go.
Duval.
Yeah, the Duval thing. So the Chicago Bears, I think the division is too tough. I agree. And then the other last place team is the New York Football Giants. And
again, the division is tough. They're not going worst to first.
The New York Giants are not. You're declaring here on opening night the Giants are not going worst to first?
Yes.
You know what that means?
What's that?
You got to root for the Eagles tonight. Because if you...
I was already rooting for the Eagles tonight.
Because of Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, well, partly.
For those that are not aware, we played the audio a few days ago, but Jalen Hurts was asked, unprompted, like, hey, were there any children's books you loved? And he said something beautiful and glowing about Tiki and Rondé's children's book that he wrote 20 years ago, and I knew it. I knew it. I said, boy, if I was Tiki, it'd be the same thing. That guy has me in his pocket.
In fact, I've been told Tiki is leaving the show in a half an hour to get down to Philly with Michael Strahan, where they will both raise the banner for the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl.
That is not true. He just is rooting for Jalen Hurts. That's all it is. It's not like he's an Eagle guy.
How can I not like Jalen Hurts?
I agree. I like him, too.
And I think what you guys need to do, because Tiki is the leader, I'm just a voice who agrees with him. If you're a Giant fan, you know the Eagles are winning the NFC East. We can end the division right now. We could call it, I mean, no offense to the Commander fans out there. You too. You guys ain't winning the division either. You have a better chance, but you're not winning it.
They got four new offensive linemen starting. Four new offensive linemen.
No, I get it.
So we'll see about the Commanders.
We'll see. And the Eagles have questions too. Mekhi Becton is gone. They have a new offensive coordinator. Like
They're a very young team. They're younger than the Giants.
Really?
Which is crazy to think
about. That is kind of crazy.
Right? As good as they've been over the last 5 years, they have one of the youngest teams, the third youngest team.
That's actually a great compliment, though.
Of course.
It's scary.
Absolutely, it's
scary. But if you can at least agree, which Tiki does, that the Eagles are the cream of the crop, then tonight when you sit down in your little loungy chair, you are saying very loudly and proudly, fly.
No, you're not.
No,
you're not.
Fly. No, not
it benefits
saying.
You.
I'm not saying fly, Eagles.
No, what you're doing tonight
you're saying go, Eagles.
I don't even think you're doing that. You're not.
Go, Birds.
You're not rooting for the Eagles, but what you're doing, you want the Cowboys to look like what you hope the Cowboys look like. You're rooting against the Cowboys, not for the Eagles tonight.
That's the best way to put it. That's often used as, and it sounds stupid, I'm not rooting for this team, I'm rooting against the other team. Like, whatever, that doesn't mean anything. You're rooting for this team. In this case, you're rooting against the Cowboys.
Right.
Period.
Because a big, competent Cowboy night
and tonight. And you're rooting for Jalen Hurts and against the Cowboys.
Well, yes, all right. A big anti-Cowboy night where they look incompetent, they're not surviving the part, like that would only just fuel the fire of, okay, for the Giants, we could climb this hurdle
right.
The next week.
I agree with that. Like, if the Cowboys come out and shock the world to a degree, and maybe shocking the world is, you know, too much hyperbole, like it wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world, but it'd be a significant upset. The spread is right now, what, 6.5?
Eight and a half.
Oh, it's 8.5. It's a pretty big upset. But I think that would startle the Giant fan because... If you know you can't pass Philly, your hope is, well, maybe we can compete with Dallas. They just traded Micah Parsons. God knows who their running backs are. I mean, literally, they're going Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders. And I know they drafted a couple of kids in the fifth round, Jaden Blue.
Yeah, Blue.
Who could very well be a star. Like, that's the beauty of running backs. But they're trying retread running backs right now. And so I know that there's this confidence.
They do have George Pickens.
Right, that's where and CeeDee Lamb. I mean, they got a pretty damn good 1-2 punch.
And Turbin is a burner.
And as much as you guys killed Dak Prescott, like, he's not terrible. So I think the Cowboys are going to be a lot better than you guys. Not you guys, because I don't know your predictions. Let me take that back. I think they're going to be a lot better than some feel, but you need them losing tonight. So you can't have them beating the Eagles.
The Cowboys are going to be dependent upon Dak Prescott. If he's good Dak Prescott, they have a chance to be good. If he's average and bad Dak Prescott, they're going to be really bad.
Hold on. Josh is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Evan. I wanted to give you some kudos on something that you touched on a little bit earlier.
Yes.
So you were talking about McClain and the element of surprise, and I got to say, you're finally correct, finally right. I like what I heard out of that, and I totally agree. Why give the Philly batters an extra
May
bat?
May I ask you a question? I agree with you agreeing with me. What do you mean, finally? Have I never said anything you've agreed with?
Well, like three callers ago went against you when it came to ticket prices. So, you know.
What does that even mean? Well, I'm glad we got a finally. I guess this finally meant other people disagree with me. Look, the element of surprise matters. And I think that the more batters see a pitcher, the less advantageous it can be for the pitcher. Now, we just gave you a couple of thoughts on Philly-Dallas. When we come back, let's go deeper into this. We'll make our official NFL predictions. Who's going to win divisions? Who's going to win a Super Bowl? We are going to put ourselves on record And we'll get some of your predictions as well. 888-808-1019.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.